from stpetecatalyst.com.
Okay, welcome to Political Party with Adam Smith. Lucky to have Gypsy Gallardo, who is CEO of One Community, a force of nature, an advocate, economic development consultant. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
I want to ask you to come on because there's a growing, I don't know if I should say controversy, but maybe it is controversy about what's called a community benefits agreement proposal that's before the city. And this is essentially, correct me, but it's essentially in the big picture terms, when there's a development, a big development that involves a significant amount of public money, taxpayer money, then the community is involved in it. And that could be everything from hiring people from within the community to the community helping shape, you know, the parkland or the sustainability. Very briefly, explain what a CBA, community benefits agreement, is.
That's pretty much the gist of it. It became a thing in the 1990s. One of the first major cases of its application was a stadium project in Los Angeles. And they vary in scope. Some of them attach to single large-scale projects only. Some of them have citywide application. Here in St. Pete, what it means basically is that if developers are leveraging public taxpayer-funded supports of various kinds, monetary incentives, tax abatements, free land, low-cost land, et cetera. So if you are a developer and your project leverages taxpayer resources, we're asking you to also incorporate equity strategies into your project. And those equity strategies primarily are in the areas of targeted workforce equity strategies and targeted small and minority-owned business contracting. And in our city, a big focus of the proposed or the draft CBA policy is sustainability. So investing in planetary preservation. And then at a certain level, we also ask for investments in priorities for the city in the areas of health, education, and the arts. So that's the gist of it. It's a simple thing in construct. It's very complex in adaptation. You use the word controversial. I think that's a good word to use. These CBA policies and CBAs agreements, singular, have been contentious. We've seen major blowups tied to the deployment of this strategy, such as the Amazon deal in New York. And we've seen lawsuits waged by contractors. There is, in fact, a lawsuit active at the moment filed by the Associated Builders and Contractors Association against the City of St. Pete for the requirement that contractors hire apprentice labor on their projects. So these are, so I think controversial is the right word, but to be, to bring this to where we are as a city, as I mentioned earlier, Adam, we want to take it out of that political hot button issue space. We want it to be subjected to comprehensive review in the community, sit down dialogue with developers and mainstream economic leaders in the city to see if we can be new, to see if we can break the mold here in St. Petersburg to get folks talking to one another about here's my reality and here's mine and how do we meet in that middle.
The city council, what I saw was they were suggesting this was rushed. They were a little bit unaware of many of the details. Some of them were seemed to be under the impression that, well, this should be applying to the Tropicana Field, but why should we apply this to projects everywhere? And there was some concern that maybe developers would be hostile to it. So, first of all, it seems like it's important to note, these are city-funded projects. These are not, you know, this is not Joe Schmo building a CVS somewhere needing to do something or building a condo complex with their own money. This is somebody, a developer with a big, big project, $2 million plus, at least 20% from the city. There have been very few of those in the last decade, I gather. So it doesn't seem like a no-brainer to expect, if you're going to be sucking at the teat of the taxpayer ought to have some say in what you do. But how did you react to the city council's reaction?
Well, and there is two big things in what you said. I'm going to talk in sentences rather than paragraphs. And I want to address the first part of your statement, Adam, which was about the perception that people came away with if you watch that city council committee meeting on February 25th. And I sent a memo the following day that said, in the aggregate, there were four things that came across loud and clear from those proceedings. If I'm just a generic, you know, everyday watcher, I'm cleaning my house, I have my TV on, listening to city council proceedings, I come away with the perception that this was rushed, that the broader community, i.e. white, mainstream economic development and civic engagement community was not involved, that we did not do a good job of reaching out to council members, and that we had flipped the script, that we were attempting to apply this citywide when this was originally conceived as a project appending to Tropicana Field. None of the above was correct. And there has been substantial and ongoing community engagement around this for 2+ years, first proposed 6 years ago, 17 sit-down meetings or one-on-one meetings with current council members, roughly 16 meetings with them, with administration. So there was a false perception that I thought it was important to call out in the wake of that meeting. And here's why it's so important, Adam. Can I please do another paragraph? I'm sorry. I'm trying. But let me say why this is so important, because structural racism operates in part through the subconscious biases that play out in how powered and moneyed people interact with less powered and moneyed people. And in this case, to convey the impression that it was a shoddy job of outreach perpetuates stereotypes about the lack of capacity in community. For whatever strange reason, they're the ones who set the schedule for the council meetings, and to convey that it's rushed gives the impression that this is being crammed down the throats of the development community, and nothing is farther from the truth.
Now, can I ask you, have groups like CONA, the Council of Neighborhood Associations, the Chamber, the development community, I would imagine by design, this is a bottom-up, not top-down operation, but have some of those community groups been involved or at all in the discussions early on?
Right. It's a bottom-up, not top-down strategy. This is not something that the development community would advocate for and propose as policy in the city. In fact, they would be, some of them, inclined to oppose it. And then the answer to your question is, yes, we did broadly engage. And I sent council members, emails of, here are some of the folks that we invited to the table. Many of them did come to the table. The chamber, I, as a former chamber board member representing one community, had presented the ideas to the chamber, and their staff had been present at various meetings. So it was a really unfair characterization. And the reason it was so important to call that out was because they had the effect in their remarks of creating and conveying false impressions that are damaging to open dialogue.
Do you feel that's what the council did? They were meeting as a committee, and I can't remember the acronym committee. Was it whatever it was? PS&I.
Right, public service and infrastructure.
Okay, but it was the city council, and then they basically referred this to other committees for further review, which in normal government operations means they're killing it. But I don't, is that the case here?
I don't think so. There is the cynical among us who say, yeah, okay, so you sent it to Ed Montanari's committee. He chairs BF&T because you wanted to kill the bill. And that is an interpretation. I will not bat that down as an impossibility. That could well have been the case. But I have heard a lot of quality feedback, a lot of legitimate concerns and questions. Darden Rice has questioned, do we have the supply chain of African-American contractors to make this policy effective in any way? I've heard them ask for, where are we in the lawsuit?
A lawsuit over apprenticeships?
Right, over apprenticeship. How does that factor in here? I've heard them ask questions about how will the fund work? Who are the decision makers at the table? And all of those are entirely legitimate questions. And we would rather have more questions than silence on this issue. We'd rather have these things come out onto the table if we will achieve the breakthrough moment that this policy entails.
Ed Montanari at one point said something that I thought was a good question. Well, there are two things. There are a couple of people saying they're concerned that this is going to turn off developers. And I'm sort of like, I feel like developers are chomping at the bit to get into St. Petersburg. I'm not worried about a few developers, but he did say there are some projects or areas, and he mentioned the Tangerine project, Plaza project, that's been sitting empty for a long time, city involved project, that if you put extra requirements, extra sort of steps that the developer has to take, it's going to make them even harder to find successful developers for that. What would you say to that?
I would say that the people, I believe it was Blackman and Montanari, who might have brought those points up. I see that as a really good question, right? I see that as a legitimate, hey, if these projects are struggling to operate already in certain communities, why add to their cost structure? But I think that's a misunderstanding. The implementation of CBA policy does, let's be real, increase the developer's cost in some ways, but some of those ways are very marginal. For example, they're required to do community outreach. So now you have the cost of conducting community meetings, which involves small costs, such as food, audiovisual, you know, those types of things.
Which, there is sorry to interrupt, but that's the type of thing that a good developer should do. That's the type of thing that in my business, I sometimes help developers do community outreach because you want the community to be supportive. That's what developers should do.
And then there's also no evidence that MBE, SBE targeting increases your costs. There is some evidence that apprenticeship hiring can increase your costs, but that it improves the quality of your product. So I think it's better to be open and ask as many questions as possible, get those scientific answers out on the table, and to go at this from a data-driven and a basis of fact, as opposed to doubt and old data. You know, part of my feedback to Darden was that our workforce realities have significantly changed in the African-American community. Construction workforce is up, certifications in construction way up, you know, business formation way up, business growth continuing to tick up year after year. And so our Black community is in a different place than it was when you wrote about it years ago. You know, our economic reality at a certain point was, I'll say it, I don't like the word, but in the toilet. We for a long time had some of the worst educational and economic outcomes in the state of Florida and hence the nation. And that reality has changed dramatically from 30 years solid of intentional strategic investments in the advancement of the African-American community. So we need to be, so ask your questions. Let's get this out. Let's have this dialogue and see if we can achieve the breakthrough.
So what happens from here on out? How do you get this done without it being buried in, you know, analysis paralysis?
Analysis paralysis. We keep it moving. We've got a series of policy council meetings happening in the community. I sent you that list this morning. A really strong group committed to taking a serious look at this policy, using professional facilitators, survey instruments to really bring the heft and collective will of the community to bear in influencing city council. We've done follow-up sit-down meetings with council. And so we will continue advocacy calibrated to allow for the time needed to be thoughtful in the application of this policy.
You know, there are just some things, maybe I'm missing something, but things like the controversy over apprenticeship programs, right? It's controversial in Tampa, it's under lawsuit here. My view is, if you don't want to do a public project, if you don't want to be getting taxpayer money, then do your own project, do the free market, let it happen. But if you do, then there are certain steps you're going to have to take. And one of those things is we taxpayers would like to see apprenticeships, which is a logical thing. Why don't we want to help our workforce get better? So I don't get it.
There, and you saw in one of the documents I sent you, there's a profound disconnect, you know, in several places here. That, you know, folks are, we've watched the 99% movement. We've seen the tensions in the Democratic Party from the growing call for economic equality to close those income gaps that have widened to monstrous proportions over the past three decades. And so there's that movement that says this, equity now, exclamation point. There's the, you saw some of that in the protest movement of 2020, which in a lot of places took on the face of defund the police or the face of, you know, stop killing our Black men, police. But that was a mushroom cloud of a conversation that involved economic equity as well. And then on the other side, I'll give it to you the way that one of our economic development leaders said to me last week is developers are nervous. And I said, I would be too if I were a developer, right?
Well, so are a lot of the people in St. Pete. They're nervous about development overtaking our quality of life. So, get, you know, let's get together and work together.
Yeah, and there are some people who seem to be closer to where you might be on this who are saying this is the minimum we can do. 15% targeted to apprentices, 10 to 30% targeted to SBEs and MBEs.
I think I heard Alan Delisle say this would have applied to like five projects over the last 10 years or something.
Yeah, I think it may be more once we fine tune how public support is evaluated. You may get a larger crop of projects who would have fallen into that would have fallen into that category. But look what we have coming up. It's not only about what this would have applied to in years past. What we have going forward now is Tropicana Stadium. Or Tropicana Field, the largest redevelopment project in our history. We have the new Municipal Service Center project happening by an outfit called Third Lake. We have Tangerine Plaza about to go under redevelopment. We have Sankofa project, which you may have heard of, which is at the upper end of the Deuces corridor. So we have a larger, box of development projects coming online in the next 20 years, and the pace of that may pick up even beyond that point.
And I don't want to take up too much of your time, but one of the questions was, should this just be in Tropicana Field, or I think by implication, should it just be in, you know, mid, whatever we're calling it these days, South St. Petersburg? Why should this be in Gateway? I mean, I might argue, what, shouldn't equity be everywhere in the city? Seems logical, but what's the argument for why this shouldn't be in the Gateway community? Let's say that.
You know, I'm going to be honest, that was one of the most shocking parts of that city council deliberation. First of all prior meetings, we'd gotten signals of support. During none of those meetings did it ever become a topic or suggestion that we limit this to Tropicana Field only. So now I'm looking back at city council saying, you know, open up, talk to us. If this was your concern, why did this not come out prior to this meeting, giving the false impression that the original plan was for Tropicana Field only, and we're attempting now to make this citywide? So that's one problem I had with that. The second thing that I learned from that experience is that people are understanding the logic of doing CBA strategies for Tropicana Field because they now understand that that site, what represents an economic betrayal and a displacement of, I think it's a combined total of 785 structures, including housing units and facilities. I think the number is 9 churches were dislocated, 30 businesses lost their site of operations through that project. And so they understand that wrong was done at Tropicana Field. And then that made me realize, Adam, they don't understand that economic injustice has been perpetuated and was pervasive and happened in every corner of the city over a period of 90 years solid in St. Petersburg, involving, you know, dozens of actions by city council, in part backed by and influenced by the development community and the elite of our city, to bar African Americans from owning businesses outside of a certain area, bar them from working outside of a certain area, bar them from building or owning homes outside of a certain area, giving them unequal treatment in sanitation services, in all kinds of infrastructure investments, such that even the homes they did own inside the boundaries of segregation, inside the legal boundaries of segregation, had a lower value and had a value cap. You know, so there are, and thankfully USF now is in the process of a study on structural racism that will map out that timeline of the many, many, many legally sanctioned acts of economic violence and injustice perpetuated against the African American community. So, and Adam, I'm going to say this in closing. You can do this looking backwards, or you can do it looking forwards, or both. Looking backwards is saying we, as a people, have acted against the economic interest of African Americans, and we need to make this right. Or you can say, we have stubborn, going forward, what city do we want to be? Do we want to be a city where an African-American male has far fewer opportunities, chances, and pathways than a young white male? Who do we want to be going forward? And I personally would prefer that we look with a really clear and sober eye at what's happened in the past. We acknowledge it. We come to terms with one another across the table, and we determine that we will be a city where African Americans are an integrated, vital, accepted part of our social networks and our economic fiber.
Gypsy, you rock. I feel much smarter about this than after talking to you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. It sounds like it's going to keep going, hopefully not too long, but it will keep, this discussion will keep going for a while.
Okay. Thank you, Adam. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
From stpcatalyst.com.